Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday the 28th of October, recording at 9:28 p.m. And that's British summer time for the rest of this week. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, Asia, we saw, activity's been quiet, but we saw mostly small declines. In Europe, we saw mostly small gains. The Americas were mixed and also very quiet. Wall Street seesawed a little bit, opening firmer, moving lower, and then closing mixed, with the S&P and the NASDAQ up a fraction and the Dow down a fraction. Long-dated government bond prices were slightly firmer in response to recent weakness. That's bond prices. The U.S. dollar was hit in here today, down to 77.30 on the U.S. dollar index. Sterling was firm, up at 159.36. And let's see, precious metals were firmer. Gold did well, up to 1343.75 as I speak. Palladium back above 630. And silver, good rally, 23.99, up 58 cents. And what else to mention? Crude oil quietly steady, natural gas a little bit firmer. The grain and bean complex is mostly steady. Wheat was strong again on drought in the Great Plains of the USA. And more commodities were up than down. Excuse me, lumber a little bit firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we've had a wonderful run since the late August lows, and where we saw late August lows, some of the ASEAN markets had just been powering ahead since well before late August. But that has created short-term overbought conditions in most stock markets around the world. And there's a risk that we will see, there's a risk that we will see some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages. Certainly in the medium term, I feel, if not in the short term, and it could also occur in the short term. But I don't look for any kind of rout in here anytime soon. Why? Well, again, the monetary policy remains accommodative, although it'll be interesting to see the Fed's statement. I think they've been trying to dampen expectations a little bit. The Fed, that is, has been trying to dampen expectations, and that markets, in my opinion, ran ahead of themselves in scoring big gains. This is both stock markets and commodity markets in anticipation of another huge dollop of liquidity from the Fed. Now, again, as I said, the Fed has tried to moderate those expectations, and it may go back to, I think it's certainly committed to more quantitative easing. Remember, the Fed has that dual mandate about price stability, and it's not too worried about that at the moment. But its other, the other half of its mandate is employment, and so I believe the combined mandate is the highest employment possible, in line with reasonable price stability. So I think we will see further QE. And that may not help the U.S. economy all that much, but money tends to flow where it gets the best return, and that's been in the emerging, what I prefer to call progressing markets, and also in commodities and I don't think that's going to change dramatically. But over the short term here, at least, we should expect a little bit of choppy activity. This may be in the form of some lower ranging, or it may just be in the form of sideways activity, or even just a slower rate of advance. Again, the important point is that I don't expect any big decline here. We're in a period that's seasonally favorable, although markets are due for a breather after their strong gains overall, and the background conditions are favorable. And I think there's more concern developing over long-dated government bonds. Now, if bond prices tend to weaken, yields push a little bit higher, that would be additionally bullish for equities because the flow of money in not least in the United States and in a number of other Western countries has been very much out of mutual funds, equity mutual funds, that is, and into bonds. And that's been going on for quite some time, and it's something that Fuller Money has commented on a number of occasions. Now, if investors reassess bonds and decide that they'd be better off, those who seek yield, in better off in a higher yielding equities, and that would certainly be my view, has been for a while, then that shift out of bonds, some partially, and into equities could certainly fuel additional stock market gains over the medium term. And I think that's what's going to actually occur. But again, I don't think that government bond yields will rally sharply enough to cause any kind of negative sentiment in equities. And that wouldn't happen until long-dated yields moved up sufficiently so that they were more competitive vis-a-vis equities. Currently, they're very uncompetitive, as you're no doubt aware. So that's a favorable background overall. Also, as long as we don't have too much currency turbulence. I mentioned that the dollar was weak today, but really reached at least short-term low against most currencies 2 or 3 weeks ago. And if the US dollar is just sort of ranges or gets a little bit more but encounters a little bit more demand if in the form of short covering, that could well again, maintain help to maintain a favorable environment for equities generally. But the key point following the strong gains that we've seen is really not to pay up. And the Fuller Money view overall is that if you are thinking of selling to take some profits, the time to do it is when markets have had a terrific run, such as we've seen recently, not when everybody else is selling and markets are under pressure. Equally, we feel that any kind of mean reversion towards the 200-day moving averages in Fuller Money themes would be an additional buying opportunity. Okay. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? A little bit more on that. Well, I don't like them. The price action in the futures contracts indicates that the previous rally has run out of momentum. We have lower rally highs in most instances. About the steadiest of them is the JGBs, but the US Treasuries, Australian bonds, most of all, gilts, bunds, have, as I say, deteriorated a little bit in terms of momentum. So I'm maintaining a modest short position in that sector. The grain and bean complex is extremely interesting and also worrying, and it's not exactly at the, I was going to say that it's at the forefront of commodity price inflation. In terms of price action, that's not true at all. In terms of importance of those markets, the grain and bean complex is extremely important in terms of staple food prices for the world. It's very important overall. And agricultural commodities in general, really, we're talking about cotton, orange juice, the grain and bean complex, sugar, coffee. These prices are very, very firm. Now, part of that has been the recently weak dollar. Part of that has been a certain amount of investment money with all that liquidity sloshing around, going into commodities. But most of that strength in agricultural commodities is due to some very unfavorable weather conditions in the growing regions, which has reduced supply. And my fear for some time now, is that people were complacent about inflation. Obviously, we're not going to see any kind of wage inflation in the West at any rate. You're getting it in China and other booming economies. But that the inflation that the world faced was commodity price inflation. And I don't see anything to change my mind in that. It's just a matter of how rapidly will that become a problem. And I would say it's already becoming a small problem, but it could very easily become a big problem. But again, not all commodities are equal. And the most stable commodity in recent months has been crude oil. And it also happens to be the most important commodity by far in terms of inflationary pressures. But there's a consensus view, or at least I heard it mentioned on CNBC this morning, consensus view that the crude oil price was going to stay in the low $80 region. Well, talk about an extrapolation of what people see, because that is has been what's or has been what's been going on. But I think technically, using commonality, the strength of most other commodities, and also looking at the crude oil price separately, that pattern could easily support a move to $100 or more. Over the next few months. Whether that occurs sooner or later, I don't know, because it's still range bound, but we'll probably see the signals for another strong advance when that does occur. I do feel it is a matter of when, not if, that actually happens. Now, the world can still live with $100 crude oil, although that would be something of a headwind. Overall, but spikes in crude oil prices, such as we saw back in 2008, spikes have always caused recessions, and I don't expect the next spike to be any different. And the recession would hit hardest, I suspect, in the Western markets. Usually it's the other way around, but the Western markets are fundamentally weak this time around, and the emerging progressing markets are fundamentally strong in this current cycle. If crude oil stays in its current range, let alone moves lower, as some people expect and many people hope, then the main reason for that almost certainly will be the low price of natural gas. And the shale gas has helped considerably in keeping gas prices lower than they would have otherwise been. And so there we have it. A little bit of choppier action, consolidation actually taking place in markets, but the overall environment for the medium term is still favorable for equities. All the best.